our Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is Yusama Dakta with you from Wild Rose, Wisconsin, and it is September the 10th of the year of our Lord 2022. This is the day before September 11th. Obviously, when that day happened, I remember it very well. It was Tuesday. It just happened to come this year on Sunday, and today we have a special program. So we're not doing our normal study, part two of the Ten Commandments in Islam, but we're going to be celebrating together the life of those who died. And I hate to say this, they died in vain, because we have not honored their blood and we have not told the true story of what happened to them in September 11, 21 years ago. We're going to do our best tonight to expose the hogwash propaganda Islam and the hogwash propaganda of political correctness and the hogwash propaganda of the media of America, because that's exactly why I say these people, those who died, the 3,000, almost 3,000, their blood was shed in vain and no respect or honor has been given to them. With me tonight, as usual, Christy Johnson from Mississippi, a wonderful producer, a wonderful co-host, and also Brother Paul from Rochester, New York. Thank you for being with me. Christy, you have the floor. Please go ahead, sister.
Well, I just want to say today has been a challenging day. I've had some interesting experiences, but God always answers our prayers. There's been a wonderful chance to share the Lord. Someone that while I was busy packing and moving stuff, they'd asked me for prayer for surgery that they had, heart surgery, which is pretty serious. And I ran into them today, and they had the surgery yesterday. They're walking around, and they're fine. And they came over to talk to me and share that good news. The Lord's done amazing things. We're in the middle of a car problem. You know, all you can do is pray sometimes. God answers. So whatever the challenges are, those lessons build our faith. So I can say this is a faith-building day for me. It's been really, really blessed. Really blessed.
Amen. Amen. Paul, the mic is yours.
I have been looking at various articles that have to do with our topic tonight, and I want to share some of the differences that are out there. I'm just going to put some of these in the chat room. This one comes from MSNBC, and the headline, you would think from reading the headline, I'll put it up in the screen just a second.
Mm-hmm.
You would think from looking at the screen that when I get there, you would think from looking at the headline here, are we safer now than we were on 9/11? That you know, you would get an honest answer. However, they write, many national security experts say the U.S. is now much less vulnerable to international terrorism than it was when New York and the Pentagon were struck. I think they left out Pennsylvania. But, you know, that's not what the people that I trust, that part, that's not what the people that I trust are saying. A couple of analysts that, I put my faith in, and if you put your faith in NBC, you might as well. It's like putting money in a bank where you'll never get interest. I'm just disgusted seeing that. Now, I'm going to share.
Let me ask you a question. In this article, did you read the word of Muslims, Islam, Jihad, Allah, Muhammad, Quran, Hadith?
No, those words are not.
It's simple words. It's a BS, American writings. You might as well just give it to the Muslims. If you're going to talk about September 11th, without mentioning the Quran, without mentioning Allah and Muhammad, without mentioning the Hadith, without mentioning Jihad and terrorism of Islam, then you're not talking about September 11th. You might as well get the Muslims to celebrate the death of the American people one more time for another year. That's what it is. That's what it is. And who started that mess? A man by the name George W. Bush. That's exactly. I'm going to share with you tonight few clips of George W. Bush 4 days after September 11th. 4 days. And from that day until today, these people died and the blood was shed in vain. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm gonna put this next one. Now, my friend Todd Bensman has a new book coming out that will also verify this article as well. I'm going to share my screen. Todd Bensman is a former DHS person. I can't speak highly enough of him. Again, he's a personal friend of mine. And I just want to share this article. Says a lot of what you're saying. It's 9/11 plus 20. And again, this comes from the 9/11 terrorist travel report that came out. Mm-hmm. The success of the September 11 plot depended on the ability of the hijackers to obtain visas and pass an immigration and customs inspection in order to enter the United States. It also depended on their ability to remain here undetected while they worked out the operational details of the attack. If they had failed on either count, entering and becoming embedded, the plot could not have been executed. A decade after the 9/11 terror attacks in 2011, U.S. State Department consular officers in Saudi Arabia expeditiously granted local citizen Naif Abdulaziz Al-Falaj an F-2 student bus visa, permitting him to enter the United States. Al-Falaj settled with his wife an F-1 student visa holder in Oklahoma City, suburb of Weatherford, where she was attending a local university. But State Department security screeners in Saudi Arabia somehow missed the discoverable red alert fact that in 2000, Al-Falaj joined Al-Qaeda and trained in the group's notorious Al-Farouk camp outside Kandahar, Afghanistan, the same terrorist camp in this same time frame where Al-Qaeda leadership selected, organized, and trained the 9/11 hijackers for the attacks on America. Again, Todd Bensman worked with DHS. He's not someone that will give you a lie. He's a professor. He teaches this stuff.
He's on speech quite frequently with Brandon House and other people having this guest. He's excellent.
Yeah, I've had him on my show for a few years, and it's just his work is so, you know, it's cutting edge. And some, you know, and I'll say this, his book, America's Covert Border Wars, it's his new book kind of in some ways turns what he said on its edge. Mm-hmm. In America's Covert Border Wars, he wrote that national security is neither, it has nothing to do with parties, and he had evidence for it.
Yeah.
But under this administration, his next book, which is coming, which I wish it would be. I mean, as of today, you can pre-order it.
Right.
It says that under the Biden administration, that's gone. That there is no national security at this point.
Yeah.
And that is, he documents everything. I mean, it's just the amount of documentation that is in his work is, it will blow your mind. If you're looking at this article, if you go to the link, you will see everything is footnoted. So, I mean, he goes on to talk here about this guy. Okay, he's talking about the person who applied for, this gentleman, let me go back to the article, which will blow your mind again. Ostensibly, more schooled immigration vetters of the post 11 generation did not know, but easily could have with a certain check that the applicant Al-Falaj was likely trained among the hijackers as a contemporary. Instead, the visa security screening lapse allowed an Al-Farouk camp veteran to fly into America just as did his deceased campmates 10 years earlier. Al-Falaj remained free in the American heartland, his alarming history and intentions unknown for another 5 years. Who he really was only came to light in 2016. Now, this is where it gets scary. It did when he applied to a pilot school near Oklahoma City.
Don't you love it? And we're safer today than before September 11th. You know what I said, Paul, after September 11th? I said, it's time for the American people. And that's why I give up on the whole thing within a few months after that. I said, it's time for the American people to clean this country up. Clean it from inside out, which means you don't want any more Muslim students in America. After all, we know that student visa is a comedy. It's a 3-4 years and that these students never leave America. They're here to get the degree, but before they get the degree, they get the wives. American beautiful wives, which means they change their visa. That student visa step A to the real visa step B to the American citizen step 3 to American important office step 4. They will be the pilots, they will be the doctors, they will be the engineers, they will be everything. And their children are born in this country. And if they will not perform the next 9/11, their children for sure will carry on for Allah and for Muhammad. It is foolish. I said Muslims should never be near an airport. Well, guess what? We got in the same airport of Venice, Florida, more new Muslim students. Venice, Florida, teaching more students from the Muslim world to learn how to fly an airplane. Just few months after September 11th. Because we cannot be bigots. Because we cannot be Islamophobic. Because it's not because 19 months of this September 11th that there's anything wrong with Islam. As I'm going to let you hear the words of George W. Bush, the great president of the United States of America for a good 7 years after September 11th. That is the man who put Barack Hussein Obama in the White House. Not anybody else. The Muslims did not put Barack Hussein Obama in the White House. It was Mr. George W. Bush. The man I voted for him twice, before September 11th and after September 11th. So I'm not saying that I'm a Democrat who hit Bush. I'm a conservative Republican who voted for Bush twice. Sadly, it's the wrong person because we did not have any person better than Bush to vote for. So.
You know, I want to ask you a question, Usama. Do you think it's the financial interests that allow them or motivate these schools to continue to bring Muslim students? Because we've talked about that before, financially.
Sure. It's reality. Every student comes to America, South America, is good for the school. Money, an almighty dollar, is more important than America. It's more important than our constitution. Not only that, Muslims are coming to America from all over the Muslim world. And I know this from inside students. Some Muslim students we left to the Lord who told me that Saudi Arabia are sponsoring Muslim students from planet Earth as they perform jihad in America with their money. That is bringing Muslims to America to invade America from within. That's exactly what the Saudi has been doing for all these 20 years. Then the Saudi also gives the American colleges $5 million, $8 million,
yeah.
$10 million in some cases. Yeah, like for
this is highly documented by the Middle East Forum. It's documented by several different organizations. So you can actually, if you type in foreign funding, you mentioned Saudi Arabia or China, it's all documented.
I wish somebody come to the mic right now or challenge us in the chat room and say, you're lying. And I always show
I can easily provide the information.
Well,
okay. Not only that, remember John Esposito? He actually received $20-some million, one check,
yes,
to teach the students of New York the good
thing. Well, right here in Rochester, New York, Nazareth College of Rochester received $500,000. From who? The Muslim Brotherhood organization known as the International Institute of Islamic Thought. And all of a sudden, they now have an Islamic chair.
Sure.
Well, you know,
it was a former Catholic college.
Sure.
You saw me, you remember when you were down here and all these articles about Islam started appearing when they were bringing speakers from the Middle East to speak at the University of Southern Mississippi. And
sure,
we actually went there and talked to some students that were there, talked to some of the professors that were there, but they were bringing them in. And then the articles appearing in the newspaper all about how wonderful Islam is. And then they got a huge amount of money for their Middle Eastern cultures study, build a new building. You see, they get all this money, so they're motivated to make way to have these types of...
So in reality, Christy, money is one, number one. Number two, political correctness. Number three, stupidity of the American people.
Yeah, you can...
They don't know better than that.
You're talking against the money, and you're talking against the attempt to tell you that if you're a good person, you don't say something bad about Islam or this person or that person. You have to make everybody happy. Don't hurt anyone's feelings. So you're just in a bad way coming and going. No matter what it is, if you're trying to stand up for what's right, you're going to be challenged, and that's more and more and more coming. Did you see the video that I had sent? I think I sent it to you, Paul, and you, Usama, Christians from Iran, a message for America.
The sad thing, I was traveling, Christy, when you sent me, I could not read the writing.
Did you send it to my email or to my text?
I probably sent it to your text. But if I didn't send it, then if you didn't get it, Paul, I'll send it to you.
You might have
very
said that.
Sobering.
I'm a little bit farther behind. Yeah, I think you tried to call me earlier, and that might have been about it, but yeah.
All right. Well, if you guys don't have any more articles, read, I have some videos.
I have one more, which I want to share. This is, let me get this in here. This is my number. Speaking of not of this topic, and I'm just going to share my screen, and this should blow everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Again, on this topic of not being safe, this comes from memory.org. Came out today. On the 21st anniversary of 9/11, Al-Qaeda releases a message by a new unnamed leader glorifying preparators. It says on September 10th, 2022, Al-Shahab, the media arm of Al-Qaeda Central Command, released a message marking the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 attacks titled Games, the Day of Criterion, the Day of Badr, and the Criterion of the Age on the Day of September. The eight-page message, which did not include the names of the author or leader, glorified the 9/11 attacks and depicted the attacks as an extension of the Battle of Badr, a battle lasting several hours that took place in the year 624 between a small group of Muslims led by Muhammad and a larger group from the tribe of Quraysh, resulting in the decisive Muslim victory. The message highlighted the impact of 9/11 on the United States, suggesting the attacks were the beginning of the U.S. collapse on all levels. And this goes on and on. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but if you think about, if they're declaring this, the 9/11 attack, the Battle of Badr, they're planning on, at this statement, they are planning to take the United States.
If you think about Muhammad in the Battle of Badr, and by the way, this hogwash propaganda, Muhammad have a small number of followers, and the emperors have a large number of followers. That's hogwash, garbage propaganda. You could not have one line of history written by the Muslim is true. I mean, not one. I mean, I don't care what you're going to read. The Quran, the entire Quran, the word of Allah is a bunch of lies. The saying of Muhammad is another bunch of lies. The history of Muslim is more than the source of the lies of Muhammad and Allah. So there's no truth in it. But, since there's a small number and the emperor have a large number, that means it was Allah's victory. Allah's victory, my point.
I just want to point out that XYZ said he was 1.3 miles from the Pentagon on 9/11.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't forget that stuff.
No, we don't. Even when I went there, a couple of weeks later, the smell and the blaze there was unbelievable. I will never forget it. Every time I see buildings, fall apart, whenever you go to these places for upper crime, you cannot forget it. How can you forget it?
Yeah.
This is also in your heart. But here's, Chris, you want to say the thing before I move to my video?
Well, I was just going to make a couple of quick thoughts. There was a video put out, it came out yesterday, from Iranian Christians, and they actually were warning Americans and Christians in other places in the world. They were talking about how disturbed they were about a speech made by Joe Biden. And one of the things they were emphasizing is you don't know how quickly, when you're being called the enemy as a Christian and you're being told you are the lawless ones, that you don't know how quickly the situation can escalate and you'll find yourself, and they're saying, we're trying to warn you.
These ladies spoke the truth more, the politician of America, the conservative of America.
They did. And so I'm hoping we can share that at a later time. But I just wanted to mention just quickly, since 9/11, we saw some things in America improve because people felt compelled to come back to faith. But that lasted a very short time. One of the things that's also going on in America is the undermining of the Christian faith all the way around. And Walt Disney and Disney is coming out with these movies about Satan, the Little Demon Show. These are things that are glorifying witchcraft, demonic entities, evil of all kinds.
Christy, don't worry. The Baptists and the Catholics are going to go to Disney next week.
Okay, but I'm not talking about that. This is a film. This is a series that's come out.
Yes.
So I'm just saying that we've seen a lot of changes, but the attack on America on 9/11, this was only the thing that caught our attention. It wasn't the first attack by Muslims. The World Trade Center was attacked years before Usama, and people have forgotten that. And since then, we have seen all of these following attacks in Benghazi on 9/11. There's a lot of things that we need to remember, and the media doesn't want us to remember. They want us to forget history, and we can't, and that was the point of this program. Christians being persecuted around the world right now, that is increasing, and we said under Obama it increased. Right now, it's also increasing under Joe Biden. So again, history repeats itself because people forget it. They forget how these things have happened. These are not new, but we've got a lot of kids. When I say kids, I mean young people. They weren't born when 9/11 happened, but they can vote now.
Sure.
Time goes fast, and we need to be a reminder. You need to remind your loved ones that America isn't safe. I don't care what the media says.
93 was, it destroyed a parking garage area in underneath the Trade Center.
Yeah.
It was unsuccessful, and that is the reason why the attacks were made by plane.
Yeah.
Both attacks had financing and involvement of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. And that's what
both
I'm saying.
Attacks, there's just so many people who were involved. Some, and we know some of them. Just so much. I know where I was. I was teaching. In my next room, I have a teacher who I was working with, teaching the same subject, and he used Good Morning America as part of his social studies curriculum, and he's. The kids are watching it, and the first plane goes in, and he calls me and says, "Oh my gosh, a plane just hit!" Like, you know, they didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I come and I look, and I go back to my room, and he freaks out. And my friend was a Vietnam vet, and he calls me, we're at war. And I walk over, it was just a door between our rooms. And I walk into that room, and they keep showing that plane hitting, and he's collapsing onto the desk, doing all he can to stand up because he knows what war is.
Yeah.
And he knows because he served and why he served. That his sons are going to sign up and go. And that did happen.
Yeah. Wow.
His sons did go. They did serve. I believe both of them came home. Thank God.
Praise God.
Yeah. It was, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know where they were on that day. And yet children today in high schools have no clue.
They don't even know where they were. They weren't even born.
Yeah, they weren't even born. They have no understanding of.
But you know, there is history. We continue to teach our children in our textbooks. It used to be at least where you can learn the history of what happened 50, 100 years ago, and it's a fact. So you study it, you learn it, you believe it. But September 11th came, and September 11th left, and we never heard the truth about it.
Yeah.
We never heard the truth about it. And I need to make a comment before I get to some of the video about what this was shared a little bit ago. The speech of Mr. O'Biden, he is actually attacking every conservative Christian, not just the Trumper.
I know.
When he talked about those who rejected somebody to marry whom he loved. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about gays and lesbians. And there's plenty of Trumpers who don't care about gay and lesbians. As a matter of fact, we got some gay and lesbian who like Trump. It's Trump.
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, Christy?
No, you're exactly right.
He's agreeing with it,
yeah. So there are gays and lesbians and atheists and everybody who like Trump. So if you talk about Trump, he's talking about it. No, it's specifically talking about Christian, but not one person, not one politician. I've been waiting now for 2 weeks to speak the truth against that speech of Mr. Biden attacking conservative Christians who do not believe in marriage of gay and lesbian.
Well, now we have the Democrat leadership. This was an article I did not share. The U.S. Senate could add language protecting gay marriage rights to a stopgap bill to keep federal government funded. And because they're doing that, they want to make same-sex marriage a federal law. It has been challenged under the fact that marriage is something governed by states, but they're trying to put that in there now because that's the big thing.
What the liberals are doing, guys, what the liberals are doing is they're playing defensive war, not offensive war. So they want to start to make sure that as they weep, this ending this abortion by the government, we will never have a chance to do this thing about marriage. So they're going to hit hard, that you conservative Christians shut up, back off, and we're going to make your children gay and lesbian, as we're going to take over the school, and we make them whatever you want. If your daughter want to be a man, we're making a man. Even if we're going to pay a big bucks to put her, to literally change her physical body and make her a man, we'll make her a man. And if your son want to be a girl, we'll do everything we can to make sure we cut his private parts and make a woman out of him. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
Not to the Trumper. Forget about Trump. Let me tell you again. I know personally gay and lesbian who are for Trump. It is an attack on the church. It's an attack on the conservative Christian. No more.
It's coming very clear that we are in danger as Americans as Christians in America, and we've never been in danger before.
Christian,
even though
why the Christian conservative not talk about it? Why the Republicans not talk about
it? Because they're not Christians, and many of them are into the system that is corrupt, and it's not going to be exposed for that reason. A lot of the
I'm actually hearing. What are you saying? They're not talking about. I'm sorry.
They're not talking about the problem that it is the Christians who are under attack.
Oh yeah, I've heard several politicians and attack this. As I've actually heard, I probably can count about 15 different people.
Yeah, but they're talking. What are they doing about it? Why do we not see the churches? Where are the pastors? I'm sorry. Where are the pastors? And you can say, I know one.
See, that's the other issue. The 501c3 thing.
Who cares? This is what I'm saying.
I will tell you this. My pastor said what he could.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say something. I think this getting your tax-free thing was nothing but a rope around your neck. And I believe that, you know what, the truth is more important than your whatever. And if they want to come after you for speaking the truth and holding to biblical principles and the word of God, then let them come after you for that and say, okay, folks, from now on, you want to hear the truth. You're going to have to take care of this, and it ain't going to be like tax-free. You're just going to have to support what is right.
Exactly.
I mean, we got to stop this because the dollar is what, and the rush and the worry over the financial is what's destroying everything in the country. And it isn't going to matter what the money is in the future because we may not even have we may not even have dollars in the near future. We may all be on a digital system. So that's exactly right. So, you know, you better stop worrying about all this because it ain't going to matter. The IRS is coming after you anyway if you're a Christian because you've obviously done something wrong and they're going to want to cut those benefits for Christians out. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so negative, but let's be real.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Let me share with you a picture for 1,000 words. If I put this picture on the screen right now, well, guess what? I already said 1,000 words. Look at this picture. This picture takes place in a mosque near Ground Zero, where Mr. George W. Bush
met. Israel, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
That's the Al-Hijra Mosque, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And guess who are these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people standing next to the president? These are the Muslim leader of the Muslim Brotherhood of America. Let me say it again. The Muslim leader of the Muslim Brotherhood of America. Who attacks on September 11th? It's the Muslim follower, the Muslim leader of the Muslims of the Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Same family, same people, same beliefs, same Allah, same Muhammad, same Quran. And the president spoke.
Oh, you're on now.
I hope and I pray you can hear the sound. If not, just listen to them. Okay? Beautiful.
Now you just had a wide-ranging discussions on the matter at hand.
Volume up.
I'd like the good folks standing with me, the American people, who are appalled and outraged. At last Tuesday's attacks, and so were Muslims all across the world. Both Americans.
Just stop it for a minute.
That's me, honey. Why, right behind him.
Yeah, no, they don't care. The man who's giving me
one
of the time in America as I travel to speak in this country. Okay? Go to the website and learn about the Straightway Grace Ministry who is coming back. He is lumping, listen carefully, lumping these wonderful people who he's standing with the Muslim world, with the broken heart of the American people on what happened on Tuesday. We're all in one lump.
He's standing with the parents of Al-Qaeda.
Exactly. We're all in the sorrow and we're all broken hearted. The Muslims of the Muslim world and these wonderful folks around them are crying tears the last 4 days of this September 11th. While that idiot lies of American people, I know for sure that the Muslims of Egypt were celebrating. The Muslim of Saudi Arabia was celebrating.
Yeah.
The Muslim of 57 Muslim countries were celebrating. The Muslim of America were celebrating the death of the 3,000 Americans. Let me say it again. He's lumping the Muslim savage believers of Muhammad who celebrate September 11th with the broken-hearted American people who lost 3,000 and the rest of friends and family, of course, of the American people. We're all sorrowful, we're all sad, and it's a break his heart what happened in America. Okay, let's continue.
Citizens, taxpaying citizens.
Gotta go up.
You gotta turn it up.
Muslim citizens, Muslim friends, what rock are you living under?
We can't hear it, Usama.
You can't hear what?
You can't hear the video. You've got to turn the volume up.
I'm sorry. I have no way to make it loud.
You can't. Okay.
Well, that's why I'm repeating.
Okay. Thank you.
He's talking about the Muslim friends. The Muslim friends. Okay. Do Muslims have us as friends? Will Muslims ever have an infidel American as friends?
Nope. Quran 551.
Okay. Let's move a little bit more.
These acts and violence against innocents violate the fundamental tenets of the Islamic faith.
These acts, he's talking about September 11th, goes against the fundamental Islamic faith.
That's a lie. I'm sorry. That's a lie.
What Islamic faith is talking about? What Islam? The Islam of the Quran? The Islam of Muhammad? Or maybe he has different book of Islam in the White House. He's been reading in the last 4 days.
Well, you got to look at who he was talking to. That is the even scarier part. What was his name? Oh my gosh, he had a the guy who was who created the chaplaincy program in the White House talking to him, and that is one of the members of the Muslim Brotherhood who actually gets charged with assassination and terrorism.
Sure. That's the level of stupidity and ignorance of the American people, including our president.
And then make him silently disappear. They never mentioned him.
Let's continue.
Just a moment. I am turning the volume way up for our radio audience. So when you come back to talk, give me a second to turn it back down, because otherwise you're real loud. Okay.
How about that? Okay. When I stop the video, you know I'm going to be talking about that.
No.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And it's important for my fellow Americans to understand that. The English translation is not as eloquent as the original Arabic, but let me quote from the Quran itself.
Mr. Jabber George W. Bush is going to quote from the Quran itself, and he knows that the English is not eloquent like the Arabic, because the Arabic is so beautiful. The Arabic will cry, make your heart broken, make you cry, and you fall in love with Islam. That stupid president is reading the Quran to the American people 4 days after September 11th. He did not bother to talk to anyone like me so we can educate them about the Quran. No, no, no. He himself is reading from the Quran, the holy book of Allah, which the Muslim used 4 days earlier to kill 3,000 Americans. That stupid president is going to quote to me from the Quran. Okay. What are you going to read to us from the beautiful Quran? Go ahead.
In the long run,
I can't hear.
Extreme will be the end of those who do evil.
In the long run, evil and extreme for those who does evil, who those who run evil. I'm going to read you the verse from my accurate translation of the Quran. Okay? So if I just be patient with me, I'm going to back a little bit and read some more.
In the long run, evil in the extreme will be the end of those who do evil.
In the long run, evil extreme will be the end of the people who do the wrong things. Okay, keep going.
For that they rejected the signs of Allah and held them up to ridicule.
For they rejected the signs of Allah and held them to ridicule. That is what I call hogwash translation of the Quran. And that verse does not teach love, Mr. President. That verse does not teach peace, Mr. President. I don't care how you can twist and screw the verse of Allah in the Quran. It will never teach what you're trying to teach. You know why, Christy? You know why, Paul? Because there's not one verse in the Quran teach love or peace. Moses could not find one verse in the Quran teach love and peace. So they'll find any verse, say anything, as long as it does not have love. And they'll say, look, look, the Quran is loving and peaceful. We are innocent from September 11th. Yeah, innocent, my foot. Innocent, my foot. Here's the verse, guys. Quran chapter 30, verse 10. I don't know why the President of the United States of America did not bother to read and give the reference to the verse he's reading. Find a better translation and read it, sir. Talk to a Christian, talk to the Muslim Brotherhood who killed 3,000 of your people and make them write an article for you or a speech for you, Mr. Idiot. That's what he did, Mr. Bush. You're used as a useful idiot with the Muslim Brotherhood who killed 3,000 Americans to write you a speech and you read with the American people. Because trust me, Bush never read the Quran. He knows nothing about Quran chapter 30. He never read the first 29 chapters to go to Quran chapter 30. Here's what Allah said. Allah said, then evil was the end of those who did the evil because they denied Allah's verses, not the signs of Allah, Allah's verses, and they were scoffing at it. What was the sin of these people? They scoffed at the Quran. What was the sin of these people? They did not believe in Allah's verses. They did not believe the Quran. You, Mr. Idiot George W. Bush, the verse is not talking about people doing evil work. People do evil acts. People practicing the terrorism of September 11th. The verse is talking about the people who rejected the Quran, like all Americans, especially Christians, and the people who did not believe in Muhammad, like all Americans, especially Christians. And what was the punishment? There was evil happened to them. Evil was the end of those who rejected Islam, you idiot, Mr. George W. Bush.
Isn't that like just saying what they just did? That's their excuse.
What is it of what he's trying to say?
I know. It's telling why they killed those people. Why
the reason we, the Muslims, kill 3,000 Americans
right
because
there.
They are Americans, because they are infidels, because they rejected the verse of Allah, the Quran, and because they stopped Muhammad.
So crazy.
And he's using that verse.
Yeah.
To tell the American people that Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. And those people who did this evil act on September 11th, Allah will bring evil into them. No, they believe after they kill themselves, they killed the 3,000 Americans, that they made it to paradise to enjoy the 72
yeah.
forever virgin. They have been sex while he's walking in the mosque. That is first
so,
segment of
deception
idiot.
And...
Go ahead, Christy. Share whatever you want to share because I'm going to make video.
No, it's just sad because you're right. This really told people you have nothing to worry about. Islam is wonderful. After we just were attacked. It's crazy.
Anything, Paul?
Sad.
Go ahead, Paul.
I just get disgusted when I think about who he had around him. I'm just...
I'm disgusted about every segment of the entire video. Every segment makes me sick in my stomach.
Okay, I wrote this back, let's see, how far back? 2015. When I first started looking at this. Abdurrahman Al-Mahmoudi is the guy who, I mean, in 1997, he was a recipient of a $500, Abdurrahman Al-Mahmoudi is just a dangerous, dangerous guy. He was...
Paul frozen?
I think so. I can't hear him.
I can't hear him either. He's frozen.
That's okay. He'll come back in a minute. Paul, check your computer button. Check your internet, Paul, if you can hear me. Is he still there, Christine?
His picture, but he's frozen, so.
He's frozen. Hopefully he can fix his internet.
Yeah,
come back.
Then come back. I had to do something. I had a crazy problem.
No.
Go ahead.
When he went quiet, I saw just my computer, but it's not my computer. It obviously, forgotten. Let's move on. Paul. We did not hear anything you said before, so go back and repeat what you said.
Paul, wave at me so I know you're not frozen. He's frozen again. He's having an internet problem.
All right. Well, hopefully.
We'll get him back in a second, but we should move on. Hey, there it is. Now we can hear you and see you.
Paul, you're cutting bad, brother. Say it again. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. So what I was trying to do is read you a little piece from a book I wrote in 2015, and his
cut again.
We got both balls frozen.
Yeah. Well, when he comes back, we need them to just launch out and launch back, and we'll be able to hear him again.
Okay.
Can you see the picture of Mr. Bush, Christy?
I can. Yes.
All right.
Al-Mahmoudi was hanging out with Hillary.
Bush. Paul, Brother Paul.
You're not with us.
We cannot hear you, brother. You're cutting so bad. If you can go and come back, that'll be awesome. Paul, if you can go and come back, I'll be good.
Let me send him a message.
Okay, all right. Send him a message. Tell him you're cutting bad and you need to launch and come back.
Okay, go ahead, because I'm just letting him know.
All right. Here we go.
The face of terror is not the true face of Islam.
You know what he said? For those who cannot hear him? The face of terror is not the true face of Islam. So what is the true face of Islam, sir? Love and peace? Teach me, because I'm so ignorant about Islam. I want to learn from you. Okay? What are you going to tell me, Mr. Bush?
That's not what Islam is all about.
Oh, that's not what Islam is all about. Terror is not what Islam is all about. You remove terror from Islam, Islam will collapse. That'll be the end of Islam, sir. But it does. The face of terror is not Islam. That's not Islam's all about. So tell me about Islam. What is Islam, Mr. Bush? I'm eager. I'm so excited about learning from you. What is Islam? Go ahead, sir. Allahu Akbar. Did I tell you, Christy? Islam is peace. All what you and I have been trying to do in this country for the last 21 years is a lie. That's why we're Islamophobe, but he's a good Christian. He's a good president. He knows what he's talking about at all. He got all the Muslim Brotherhood members around him. And he wrote in that wonderful speech to belittle the intelligence of the American people. You may do that to all America, but you cannot do it to somebody like me. Because I know Islam much better than you know your own hands. If Mr. Bush can look at his hand like that and he feel it, he knows nothing about his hand. I know better about him than he knows. Continue. Islam is peace. What is Mr. Bush?
These terrorists don't represent peace. They represent evil and war.
Oh, Islam is peace. But these 19 Muslim believers did not present peace, therefore, they're not of Islam. You see, circular reasoning? Since Islam is peace, these people does not present peace, therefore Islam is innocent from them. These people present war, but Islam presents love. Okay, Mr. Bush.
When we think of Islam, we think of a faith that brings comfort to a billion people around the world.
I'm sorry, Islam never brought any comfort to even 100 people around the world. Not a billion, not 100. Where can we find comfort in the Quran, Christian Johnson? Can you share with me a verse when I read, I feel good about my life, I feel good spiritually, and I get some comfort and I can sleep and be in peace and joy. Do you know a verse in the Quran teach comfort, Christian?
No, I don't.
Do you know a statement by Muhammad in the Hadith presents comfort for people?
No. I don't know of any.
Do we have any comfort or peace in Islam to anybody?
I don't know any Muslims who feel comfort and peace unless they're fake.
If there is comfort or peace in Islam, I would be the first to believe in it. I mean, think about it. You live as a Muslim. What about somebody going to kill you for anything or you say wrong or do wrong? And you know when you die, you're going to go to hell. That must be very comfortable, Chris.
Yeah.
You live in hell, when you die, you go to hell. And that must be bring you peace and comfort and joy.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Continue with Mr. Bush.
Billions of people.
Can't hear.
Billions of people. By the way, Paul, I hope that you came back. Did you
He's
come back?
Back.
Or you
He's
still
back now.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're back.
When you were talking earlier, Paul, we give you three or four chances, but it was bad. Let me finish this video and I'll let you continue talking. Mr. Bush said billions of people receive comfort and joy in Islam. I don't know if Mr. George W. Bush on that day drank a lot of camel urine that he lost his mind. I mean, it had something to do with drinking or smoking. I don't know what he was smoking, some medicine. He took some wrong medicine, make the man lose his mind. That's not George W. Bush. That's some other useful idiot used by this Muslim radical. And look at their faces. They're all happy. The president is doing our work. We killed 3,000 Americans. We're peaceful and joyful about it. And now the president is cleaning our dirt. What a useful idiot. What a useful idiot. Continue with his speech.
In peace. That's made brothers and sisters out of every race.
We're not hearing anything.
I'm going to repeat, Brother Paul. I play the video and I repeat it. If I'm right, I will share it without playing the video.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. But
I'm repeating the video.
Yeah.
He said, Islam brings peace. If Islam brings peace, and that brings, and that makes brothers and sisters of all kind of beliefs and religions. Once again, I do not know if Mr. George W. Bush lost his mind, or he's the biggest fraud ever happened in this country. You think Obama is bad? You think Obama is bad? Bush, to me, is worse than Obama and Biden. And you want to ask Carter to them? He's worse than all of them. That's not just
for those who don't know, the intelligence analysis field for the entire country was forbidden by this speech to ever look at Islam as the enemy.
Sure.
That's what makes Bush, in many senses, evil.
Brother Paul, he cleaned up Islam. He beautified Islam. He made it holy. He made it peaceful. He made it wonderful. And believe it or not, I used to minister to Muslim people for 10 years before that speech. I was living in America for 10 years. And not one Muslim can quote a verse from the Quran to support the love and peace of Islam. After that speech, every Muslim in the world are not quoting the Quran, but they're quoting George W. Bush.
That's right.
And if George W. Bush is the prophet of Allah who came to tell us the truth about Islam.
Yes.
That's funny because that makes George W. Bush another prophet.
I'm telling you. Because I used to make fun of him. I said, Prophet Bush, peace and blessing be on him. Allah's prayer and peace be on him. And people say, like, why are you saying that? I said, because Muslims are quoting Bush. But they could not quote Muhammad. Muslims quoting Bush, but they're not quoting Allah. Brother Paul, before we break from this, before we lost you, you were sharing something. Go ahead, brother, do it again.
Well, I was trying to share what Ala Moody did, and you know, what I'm scared about is when I start to share it, all of a sudden it starts to run away. So I'm going to hope this doesn't happen, but Ala Moody was actually arrested for crimes that had to do with terrorism, and he was arrested for murder. I mean, this is for taking part in an assassination plot. And, you know, this is something to think about. This is the guy, one of the guys who's standing with him on this day. It's bad enough you have the current head of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America. That's today's current president, head of the North American Muslim Brotherhood, right behind President George W. Bush. That's something to think about. Nihad Awad has been revealed as the likely, from every intelligence analyst source that I work with, believes that he is the current head of the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, I'm looking at the ones I'm trusting. I have yet to be wrong. I'm just kind of mind blown that is the man that's behind him. But to the side, who you can't see right now, is Ala Moody, who actually created the method of creating Islamic chaplaincy
all over America.
Have to go through this program to this very day to be in the military as an Islamic chaplain.
Yeah.
And this man was involved with terrorism. And no one has removed this. And this is just insanely stupid.
Let me explain something to you. When you give the Muslim people an inch, they go for a mile, and they never return from that mile. If you allow the Muslim in America to do one program, to change one symbol law, that's it. When a congressman or congresswoman take an office and he wins the seat, you will never replace that congressman by another infidel. Remember Ilhan Omar? She will always be the Congress Muslim lady. And if she leaves, another Muslim lady or another Muslim man will take her place, because most likely she's going to go up the ladder in a higher ladder, in a higher place. That is Islam. You will never see a Muslim man in America get a position and be replaced later by an atheist or agnostic or a Christian regime. Never. Never. Muslims don't take a step back. They always go forward. And you give them an inch, you go for a mile. Just trust me in that. Take it from my word to any bank and cash it. It is better than even cash in your hand. All right. Let's move on. One more. Chris, you want to say something, Chris?
No, I was just going to say that's why Obama is still in D.C.
You think Obama left Washington, D.C.? You think Obama agenda ended by leaving the White House? You'd be stupid. That's why we have old Biden, not Biden, old Biden. And if we got somebody else that's going to be old something else. Always through the O after Obama left the White House, through the letter O for every person who come in office. Even when Trump was in the White House, Trump was not in control of the country. It was the Democrat and the seeds which Obama planted in every place in this country.
Yes.
The FBI, who harassed Mr.
John,
Trump, they are Obama's people. Department of Justice is with Obama's people. Mm-hmm. And the next arrest of some conservative, it is Obama's people. These people never leave office. And
yes.
you're not going to punish one of them for any crime they're going to commit. Not one will be punished.
Yeah, we have Eric Holder, we have John Brennan, some of these people and their Muslim background that you exposed, and I just want to tell people, this was all exposed in the video, Freedom or Surrender, and this was done right after Obama came in office and started.
Christy, if you remember, we're working with Obama running for office.
Right, but we have...
I was not finished until he came to office. Yeah.
But the whole thing was, as that video, I just want people to know, you can see some of the people that were named in that video that were appointed by Obama, they are still in office today. John Brennan, head of the CIA.
The head of CIA.
He
would
say, Muslim.
7 years after September 11, you make the head of CIA a Muslim believer.
Yeah.
Who would believe that? The president of the United States of America, a Muslim man. Who would believe that? And all of these offices Obama opened and the bar and the czars Obama created, all led by Muslims. Who would believe that?
Yeah, it's crazy. But that's what's going on. So,
and they clean up the vocabulary of the American people. Political correctness started by Bush and grew so badly under Obama that you cannot even use the word Muslim jihadi. You can't. You can't say that. No.
They made new words.
Extreme Muslim? Are you out of your mind? Bush said extreme Muslim. But Obama and his people, and from that day until today, I challenge you, find me a Republican who will use the word extreme Muslim. Have you heard it in the last 6 years?
No. They started talking about Islamists and making words up.
Oh, they invented a new word.
They made up new words.
They invented a new word, Islamist, to remove it from Islam, which is a word has no meaning, has no place. Like, as we always say, Christianist. What is Christianist? Oh. These are the Trump people who believe in Jesus Christ. Christianists. My point.
They took it away from Muslim. That is what they did.
Here we go. The rest of the speech of Mr. George W. Bush.
America counts millions of Muslims amongst our citizens.
What make a Muslim American citizen? How can a Muslim be an American citizen?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. You stand up before the court, judge, and you raise your hand and you give allegiance to the United States of America. Do we know in America what the Quran teaches about raising your hand and give allegiance? Raise your hand and give allegiance to an infidel land, to a garbage made man constitution?
Can you be a Muslim
and be American, Chrissy or Paul? Can you be a Muslim and be American?
No. No, and we heard it from Muslims themselves. No.
Sure. Jesus said it too. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters.
That's right.
Because you're going to love one and hate the other. They're going to be loyal to one or not loyal to the other. Muslims cannot serve Allah and U.S. Constitution.
Right.
Muslims have their own Sharia. They have their own laws. They have their own Quran. They have their own Muhammad teaching. How can you be a Muslim and practice Islam in America and be an American citizen? You have to be an oxymoron. You have to be mentally ill. You have to be so stupid about Islam. And you know nothing about Islam to do that. Yes, you can. If you know nothing about Islam. Muslims, Mr. President, have already given their allegiance when they became Muslim to Islam, to Allah, to Muhammad, to the Quran, to the Muslim nation, where they come from, to the Muslim nation neighboring to where they come from, and to the Muslim nation neighboring enemy to where they come from. There is no room for America to have any loyalty from the Muslims. Therefore, you cannot be American and be citizen. You can't. You can't serve both Allah and U.S. Constitution. What is this? It's the opposite.
And if you make an oath, if you didn't mean it, Allah will not hold you responsible.
Quran 225. Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere acts of an oath. If you don't mean it, it means nothing. Muslims can swear on the Quran as they lie. Muslims can deny they're Muslims and Allah will not hold it against them. Let's move on. Anything, Paul, before we move on?
No, let's keep going.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
And Muslims make an incredibly valuable contribution to our country.
Muslims are making a great, viable contribution to America. I don't know what this guy is. What is he stupid, really? The doctors, he's going to mention them. The doctor Muslims who come to America, they love it in America. You know why, you stupid president? Because where they come from, they could not work as a doctor. Even if you're paying $10 an hour in America, it is much better than what they make in this country in a day. And I know doctors in America make hundreds of not thousands of dollars in any day. So they're not here because they are contributing to this country. They're here to drain this country, Mr. Bush. And so is engineers, and so is lawyers, and so the people he's going to brag about. They're all here in America, not because they contribute to this country, but they're here to suck out of this country. And majority of Muslims who are not doctor or lawyer teachers are on warfare in this country. How do I know that? I just made it up. I hate the Muslim people so badly, and I'm an Islamophobe, and I'm making lies. I would challenge somebody to go and look how many Muslims live in America. Of course, you'll never know that number.
Right.
How many of them are illegal in America? For sure, you'll never know that number. And how many of them are on warfare, and I bet my life you will never know that number.
You are likely to find some of that information through looking at nationality, but they do not reveal this information anymore. And if you can look through the refugee resettlement program, I have a friend who ran a local refugee resettlement program, and his problem when he ran that program was that he could not get the people from the Sudan that came here, and he left. He actually left the program because it was no longer successful, because this is the people from Sudan were the first Muslims to come through, the majority group, and it made the program unsuccessful. They refused to work.
They refused to work. You have to understand, Paul, I came from these countries. I came from Egypt. I was not born in Washington, D.C. or New York. I was born in Egypt. And when you talk to the Muslims of Egypt, only about, as a matter of fact, Christian or Muslim in Egypt. The problem is, only get less than 0.5% of Christian out of Egypt, and 99% plus are Muslims. Okay? That's the problem. If you talk to all the people coming from Egypt, Christian or Muslim or atheist, they will tell you, we're going to America for warfare programs. I don't have to work. What do you mean you have to work? Oh, you just go be on warfare. What is warfare? Oh, they give you food, they give you medicine, they give you place to live, free apartment, free education for the kids. It's going to be awesome. That's why we're going to America. The number of Muslims or foreigners from the Middle East who come to America to work is slim. I know this because I got friends came from Egypt and from Saudi Arabia and Saudi. There are lots of poor people come from Saudi. And I know for a fact, you think Saudi are rich? No. There are less than 20% of Saudi are rich, and the rest are poor. I know some people came from Syria. I know some people came from Lebanon. And I know some people came from Morocco. These are people I know personally. And they're here in America on warfare. As a matter of fact, I know some of my family members who are on warfare. Yeah, you see how worse that is? But he's telling us, Mr. Bush, they're contributing to this country. Go ahead. Tell me more, Mr. President. I want to hear more of your lies.
Muslims are doctors, lawyers, law professors.
Oh, Muslims are doctors, lawyers, law professors. Oh, man, don't you love it? Don't you love it? He knows it.
So
Muslim doctor, and when he said lawyers, did you notice what he said? He looked around and smiled. These are the Muslim Brotherhood lawyers standing behind him, and they can sue his butt if he say not one right word about Islam or Muslims.
And they sue Christians and non-Muslim businesses for discrimination.
This is the very mosque. It should be said that this is the very mosque that Anwar al-Awlaki
was preaching.
Preached in, yes.
Yes. And if you don't know who's Anwar al-Awlaki, that is the good doctor, Major Nadam Bey Hassan, teacher. Can you imagine?
Major Hassan's, he was the one
Major
Hassan consulted with,
yes. Yeah. Anwar al-Awlaki is the imam who taught the Omar Farouk, the underwear bomber, the Nadam Bey Hassan, the fourth hot shooter, and who's the third one? Omar Farouk, Nadam Bey Hassan, and I can't remember the third one. The two guys actually were Muhammad Imam Faisal from Saudi Arabia. There's a third person who was the interviewer.
There was thought that he actually consulted with the bombers from Al Qaeda that bombed.
We all know who is Anwar al-Awlaki. By the way, that is the Muslim imam who was invited to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And he spoke for 1 hour, Sister Christie, if you remember,
we talked about that.
And Eric Holder, God bless Eric Holder, gave him a check for $5,000 to speak in the Pentagon. A Muslim jihadi from the country of Yemen speaking in the Pentagon? Why didn't he even talk to our intelligence in the Pentagon? Why didn't he even call me? I would do it for free. I would give each and every one I attend my meeting all my stacks of books. Books and DVD worth over $200. Free. I would spend money on the Pentagon. Just invite me, Pentagon. If somebody from the intelligence or the CIA or whatever, or Homeland Security, please invite me. I will give you people all the books they need for free, and I'll come speak for free. You don't even have to pay my flight. I will drive my own car, and I'll feed my own self lunch and breakfast.
You saw me every time we've tried to set something up, like we've had people want to do it, and then guess what?
We're going to lose the job. All right. So let's continue.
Lawyers, law professors, members of the military.
Members of the military. The worst thing Bush allowed, and Clinton before him, is to allow Muslims to serve in our military.
Yeah.
It got worse under Barack Hussein Obama with a pilot program where he allowed Muslims illegal in America. He called them immigrants without green card. Remember that, Christy?
Yep, I do.
Oh, boy.
What is immigrant without green card?
Illegal.
Illegal. Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I thought you're cutting. Illegal. Thank you, Brother Paul. And he made it hard. I mean, it's not every illegal can become a military personnel or a soldier.
You could be a migrant, but you can't work if you don't have that green card.
But you don't understand. The Democrats will tell you, and some of the Rhino will tell you, these are the people who are willing to die for us. How dare are you to speak against them? You have to speak another language. Muslims illegal in America, they speak another language. Trust me.
Yep.
They all speak another language. Unless they were born in Washington, D.C. And if they are born in Washington, D.C., guess what? They're not illegal. Number two, if you have some medical experience, doctor, nurse, stuff like that. Because we need doctors so bad in America. And if you join the United States under Barack Hussein Obama pilot program in 10 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, not 10 months, not 10 years, no, 10 weeks. 10 weeks is what? 2.5 months, Paul. Can you count how long is 10 weeks? 2.5 months. Am I right?
Yes.
In 2.5 months, these illegal Muslims, most likely jihadi, will become a citizen if they join our military.
Yes, isn't that great?
If I heard about it when I was young, I would have joined the military even though I was legal. Because it would take a person to come to America 3-4 years to become a citizen.
Yeah.
It's five years, I think, isn't it now?
What?
Isn't it 5 years?
Oh, 10 years now.
10 years.
Well, 10 years to even look at your papers to come to America. I got some family members and friends over 10 years and their son did not come yet. I told them, just throw this paper, cut it from the trash can, come to Mexico, walk to the border. They will take you anywhere you want on welfare. You already got the welfare. You don't have to worry about anything. You didn't even have to work anymore.
That's
anyway, so they are serving in the military, willing to die for America. No, they're serving in our military to take over American military like the Muslims are doing right now in Russia, and then someday they will kill the Americans.
And we already have problems like this with our military.
Soldier of Allah, S-O-A.
Yeah. He was.
But he only killed 13 people. One of them is a mama. And he only wounded 35 people. So that's not much. That's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket.
Well,
you're making a big deal about nothing,
no,
you know?
But he wasn't the only one. We had military attacks on our men on their military posts by other Americans who attacked them, killed
these are a few cases, Christy. Yes, a few cases we know of. Who knows how many other cases?
We don't know how many, but we know of specifically of at least three. And then we had the incident that the guy, what was his name? Bo Bergdahl.
You don't like Bo, Christy? You're just jealous because of Bo's daddy, the good Muslim?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Bo Bergdahl, we traded.
I doubt even any of our audience know who we're talking about. This is a man who actually was searching for the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
So he can share with them information about our military, whatever he's doing.
The treasonous bastard that we went and freed, I'll say it.
Exactly. And then Mr. Barack Hussein Obama traded him back to America because he was doing everything he can to save his life for five top Muslim brotherhood, who actually three of them started the ISIS organization.
Yeah.
And our men died looking for him.
Looking for him, yes.
That's how sick it is. Anyway, so these are the military boys and girls. Don't get too much excited about you, Sam and Dr. We've got some good Muslims serving our military. What else, Mr. President?
Shopkeepers, moms and dads.
Yeah, moms and dads, entrepreneurs, shopkeepers.
Treat them with respect.
And we must treat them with respect.
Your anger, your emotions.
Our anger and our emotion.
Our fellow Americans. Treat each other with respect.
We must treat each other with respect.
Their
women who cover their heads
must feel comfortable
going outside their houses.
Moms who are covered must not be intimidated.
That's not the America he knows of.
That's not the America,
he values.
I've been told. Some fear to leave.
Some afraid to leave.
Some don't want to go shopping.
Some don't want to.
Go to ordinary routines.
The normal routines.
Because by wearing covering,
this should not and will not stand in America. He does not know that a Muslim lady in the hijab, most likely she will be the mom of the next Muslim jihadi who will literally kill that stupid idiot George W. Bush and rape his wife and his daughter if he can put their hand on them. He does not know that. When a Muslim lady wear a hijab in America, we got some that don't wear hijab, the worst of we can. But when a Muslim lady wear a hijab, that means she is performing jihad in one type or shape or another. And no Muslim will not believe me in that. She's crossing the T, Sister Christy. She's dotting the I by wearing the hijab, which means what? Her children were going to grow up to be a Christian. Is that right, Paul?
She's following the Sharia.
Okay, a Muslim lady wearing a hijab, that means her children are going to grow up to be a Jew, a Christian, or Muslim jihadi. Which one?
They will follow the Sharia. She's following Sharia. She's going to raise her children to be her sons to be her guardians.
Exactly. But Mr. Bush said we need to treat these Muslims. And he already heard the report. In 4 days, 3,000 Americans were killed. And these wonderful lawyers behind in the Muslim Brotherhood are telling Mr. President, some of our women are afraid to go buy the grocery.
That's not actually what happened, and that's what bothers me the most about this speech. No one was afraid to go out. There was business to clean up.
Muslims play the victims of September 11 after they screwed this country and killed 3,000 Americans.
Yeah.
And we have to
exactly
treat them with respect and love, and we have to carry flour to their homes, and we have to carry food to their homes, and we have to ask and beg them and kiss their feet and their butts because we're stupid. That's what we are. Stupid America. After all, Mr. Bush said, Islam is love, Islam is peace. It's good day.
Those who feel like they can intimidate our fellow citizens to take out their anger, they'll represent the best of America.
Yes, we are representing America if we don't treat the Muslim good. Yeah.
And it should be a shame.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Paul, if you say anything against the Muslim.
Share the same
value. We share the same value. Mr. George W. Bush is telling the American people 4 days after the freaking day of September 11th that we as the Muslims share the same value. Can you share with me one value the Muslim people share with us at the minute? Seriously, tell me. Paul, tell me. Do you know any Islamic values fit with our American values? Not Christian values. That's American values.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Well, that stupid man, he is a liar. Let's continue.
Human words.
Yeah. Human words. Excuse me. Human words. You as an infidel are worse than the wicked creature. You are the worst of the creature which Allah made. You are worse than a pig and a dog, according to the word of Allah in the Quran. He's making Muslim and American have the same words, same values, same respect.
Leaders who feel just the same way I do. They're outraged. They're sad. They love America just as much.
Yeah. Muslim leaders, they're very angry as he is angry. They're upset. They're crying blood from their eyes, not water, about what happened in September 11th.
It's a freaking, sorry. I mean, Trump actually talked about what he saw, which was people celebrating the attacks on 9/11. And he
brother, it's been 20... Paul, 21 years, and Muslims still celebrate September 11th. They pass candy on their children, like Halloween in America.
Yes.
You know what happens on Halloween in America? Kids go out, knock at doors, and get candy. Muslims pass candy tomorrow all over the Muslim world. That is Mr. George W. Bush speaking about September 11th. And now let's listen to a Muslim imam. First of all, actually, I have something to share here. Muhammad said, do not unsheathe the beast that belongs to the Jews and the Christians, and if you meet any of them in a road, force them to its narrowest alley. That is what Muhammad thought, but that's not what Mr. Bush said. So Prophet Bush, peace and blessings be on him, knows Islam much better than that Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad was stupid. He does not know Islam, but Bush knows Islam. I cannot believe Muhammad. I have to believe Bush. Okay? Here is the Muslim imam. Wait a minute. I missed the speech of the Muslim imam. Here was the Muslim imam.
Yes.
Yes.
Bismillah
ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer.
In the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. What in the world? He think all the American people are stupid. They don't know how to translate the word Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is redeemer. Allah is merciful benefactor, Muslim, and the merciful and redeemer. Where do you come up with the word redeemer in the word is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in English, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. There's no redeemer. There's no the most beneficial, blah, blah, blah. How about, he make it sound good. Continue, Mr. Imam, continue.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. That imam speaking to the American people, the infidel, and he said, assalamu alaikum. Go ahead, sir.
And that greeting means peace be unto you.
And that greeting means peace be upon you.
We are Muslim.
We are Muslim.
We say to each other, assalamu alaikum, the root is peace.
We say to each other, assalamu alaikum, the root is peace. Islam root is peace. Peace, my foot, sir.
I thought it was submission.
Exactly. Submission or surrendering. But he made it, and he's greeting the American with peace. Go ahead.
And we practice the religion of Islam, is peace.
And we practice the religion of Islam, which is peace. Oh, You don't have to believe him. Believe the man standing behind him. Mr. Bush did a great job, did he? Okay.
We're here to also, especially to those victims and to the families of those victims.
We're here also, especially for the victims and the families of the victims. Go ahead.
All Americans.
All Americans.
We also are shocked and dismayed by the events.
We are shocked and dismayed by this event. I beg my love, that man was praying to Allah that this operation will go smoothly and we as Muslims should kill 30,000 Americans, not just three. I beg you, his disappointment is for the number of the Americans who died on that day. But he was shocked. He was broken, Christy. The man cried the last 4 days. You see, he had no more tears to cry.
That it should be associated with a religion that has only peace.
We should never associate with religion which is only promote peace, Islam. This should not, September 11 should not have anything to do with Islam. Because Islam is peace.
Is ultimate. I am here with other representative members of the Muslim American community.
He's here with all these other Muslim representatives of the Muslim community.
Yeah, Muslim Brotherhood is the representative of the community.
And we are part of the fabric of America, and I don't want to hear this garbage anymore. He said, peace be on you, and Muhammad said, do not initiate peace to the Jew and the Christian, to the stupid American infidels.
That should tell you that he was there to deceive you.
Exactly. And Mr. Bush went around in the mall, and they have a great time. Listen to another speech of Mr. Bush.
As we work together, we must be very clear about the enemies we face.
As we work together to defeat the terrorists, go ahead, Mr. President, what are you going to tell me? What should we do as an American?
Killers who take the lives of innocent men, women, and children are followers of our violent ideology.
The terrorists who take the lives of men and women and children are followers of a violent religion, okay? You are far away. You have nothing to do with the religion of Islam. Good. September 11th have nothing to do with Islam. Okay, give me more.
Wait. Weren't all those people that jumped on the plane followers of Islam?
Yeah.
Weren't all those people who were on the plane that were hijacking, yelling Allah Akbar?
Yeah, but see, these are radicals. These are not Muslims. These are extremist radicals. The true Muslims, like Muhammad, like Allah, are loving and peaceful.
They were Islamists or something.
Yeah.
Well, I keep getting told by Muslims there's no such thing as radical.
You confuse radical Muslim with a good Muslim. Okay? Okay?
These extremists distort the idea of jihad into a call.
Oh, these jihadi distort the idea of jihad. They believe in a wrong jihad. You see? I correct you for now. These September 11, 19, Muslims, they're not Muslims. They distort Islam. They distort jihad. Why, Mr. President? Tell me about the real jihad and the real Islam.
The terrorist does not share the radical vision.
They do that against anyone who does not share the radical vision of Islam. They do that to Muslims. They do that to Christians, to Jews, to everybody. Including Muslims from other traditions, which they regard heretics. So these are not good Muslims, Brother Paul. Correct your information now. You need to learn the real Islam. Islam is love. Islam is peace. These are radicals. They even kill Muslims. Okay? Okay, go ahead.
Their strategy will fail.
Okay?
Many Muslim scholars have already publicly condemned terrorism.
Many Muslims already spoke publicly against this radical movement of this jihadi. I mean, I can tell you, only a few garbage liars in America, and they're lawyers, and they're liars, and they're Muslim imams, and they know the Quran much better than I would know it, and they lie, and they deceive him, and they deceive the rest of the Americans. But the rest of the 57 Muslim countries of the world, until today, they celebrate September 11th. Okay, let's continue.
Often Sunday, chapter 5, verse 32.
Remember, Mr. Bush, in the previous speech of the month, he quote Quran chapter 30, verse 20. Now, he's going to quote Quran chapter 5, verse 32. Can you imagine that? When Obama quotes a couple of verses from the Quran, the American people are like, oh, no. You forgot that it is Bush who introduced the American people to the Quran? It was Bush. In a very unique time where he should quote the verse of the Quran to expose the Quran and Muslims to American people. No. He picked up another verse, have nothing to do with Islam, and he's going to make out of it Islam to be a loving and a peaceful person. Remember the first one? We read the verse and found out if you don't believe in the Quran, if you don't believe in Islam, you're committing evil and evil is coming towards you. Like September 11th.
Yep.
You listen to the Quran. I'm sorry, Christy.
No, that's right. That was the reason they did.
It's wasting the verse to make it teach the opposite. Let's go to Quran chapter 50 and chapter 5 and verse 32 to learn about the new verses of Mr. Bush.
For this reason, we inscribe for the children of Israel that he who kills a soul without a soul or vandalizes on the earth, so it will be only as though he had killed all the people, and that he who gives it a life, it will be as though he had given life to all the people. Indeed.
That is the real Quran, Paul. I'm talking about the verse of Mr. Bush. See,
he's making stuff up.
When Brother Bush, peace be on him, Prophet Bush, may Allah's blessing and prayer be on him. When he quotes the Quran, he reads a little bit different than yours. Not much, a little bit different. So listen to what Mr. Bush said.
Every work and scholars have already publicly...
We can't hear it.
No. Verse 32 of the Quran. Which states that killing an innocent human being...
Yes, killing an innocent human being. Is this the beginning of the verse, killing an innocent human being in the verse?
Well... When I listen to Muslims talk about that word innocent, they tell me innocent means Muslim.
No. I'm asking a question, Brother Paul. Be patient with me, please. Does the verse you're reading start with, which says killing innocent?
There's nothing in there about innocent.
Okay. But the verse is not start.
How does it start?
Killing is innocent.
The first words. Read the first words.
For this reason, we inscribe for the children of Israel.
Well, where is that? He never read that, Paul. He just moved on to half of the verse.
Was another useful idiot like Joe Biden who could only read the teleprompter.
Exactly. He's reading a piece of paper was given to him by the Muslim Brotherhood who killed 3,000 Americans a few months before September 11th, before that speech here. Let's continue.
And saving the life of one person is like saving all of humanity.
Killing an innocent people is like killing all humanity, and saving the life of innocent people like saving the life of all humanity. I challenge George W. Bush to find me that verse of the Quran. It's not there.
And both?
The verse of the Quran.
For this reason, we inscribe to the children of Israel that he who...
I'm sorry.
For this reason, we inscribe for the children of Israel, he who kills a soul without a soul or vandalizes on the earth, so it will be only as though he had killed all the people, and that he who gives it a life, it will be as though he had given life to all the people.
Okay. You misspoke because you meant to say, find that verse in the Bible or the Torah. No, you can find it in the Quran, but it is not in the Torah. It's not in the Bible.
It's a made up verse by Muhammad. It's made up a verse by Muhammad. But the reality is, that verse, ladies and gentlemen, is not written for the Muslims. Read the first portion and read, which Mr. George W. Bush omitted from his Quran. Why? Because the man cannot find me one darn verse in the Quran to support love and peace to non-Muslims. I challenge Bush. I challenge any Muslim, I challenge Muhammad, I challenge Jibreel, I challenge Allah to find me one verse in the Quran. So they found a verse written concerning the Jews, and they took the first portion of it out, and since he's reading from the Quran, it must be the Muslim. It must be the book of Allah, the Quran, for the Muslims. For this reason, we inscribe to the children, for the children of Israel, not for the children of Muhammad, not for the followers of Muhammad, for the children of Israel, for the Jew.
That's right.
That Mr. Bush did not know Adam. He didn't even know jack about the Quran. And he's quoting half a verse. Let the very important verse, portion of the verse. That is what Allah said to the Jewish people in the Quran, made up by Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what actually Allah said to the Muslims. Read the following verse, Mr. Bush. Read the following verse, Mr. Bush.
All right, I'll read it. Surely the reward of those who war against Allah and his messenger and go about to vandalize on the earth is only that they will be killed or crucified or have their hands and legs cut off on opposite sides, or they will be banished from the earth. This is their disgrace in the world, and in the hereafter they will have great torment.
Let me read it to you a little bit more accurately, Brother Paul. Surely the reward for the Americans who vandalize on the earth, that's what this verse is about. Infidel Americans and meddling in the business of Muslims who are supposed to take over the world, and we hinder them. We hinder them from attacking Israel and wipe Israel from the face of the earth. We hinder them from taking any countries they choose to in Europe and nowhere else. So the reward for the Americans who engage in war against Islam, Muhammad or his messenger, or Allah or his messenger, Muhammad or any Muslim people, that is exactly how Muslims live. They can kill us, they can crucify us, they can cut our hands and legs from opposite sides, they can punish us and banish us from the face of the earth. That's exactly what Muslims did on September 11th, Mr. Stupid Idiot, George W. Bush. That's
it. Yeah, it's like these two verses show the total contrast. He's saying, this is what we ordered for the children of Israel. Yeah. This is the opposite that the Muslims are doing.
Let me quote for you now. Let me quote for you what Mr. George W. Bush said a year later. That is when he spoke in the, the speech of the president,
State of the Union.
The State of the Union. Here go Mr. Bush. He opened the Quran. He learned about Islam, and he figured out that he was wrong a few months earlier because he was ignorant of Islam, so he's going to correct the record, and he's going to set Islam, Muslim people, on the right line and say, hey, you cannot do this anymore for us. This is what Mr. Bush said.
I also want to speak tonight directly to Muslims throughout the world.
I also would like to speak tonight, to the Muslim, directly to the Muslims throughout the world. What are you going to tell them, Mr. President?
We respect your faith.
We respect your faith. What a stupid freaking idiot! He respects Islam. He calls faith and he respects it. What a sick in the head. Continue, Mr. Bush. Tell me more.
It's practiced freely by many millions of Americans.
It's practiced freely by many millions in America.
Not at that point in time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
And by millions more in countries that America counts as friends.
And by million more of friends, which America, of countries, which America counts as friends. Like Saudi Arabia, maybe.
Well,
like
they
Egypt, maybe.
They're all practicing freely, right?
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
His teachings are good and peaceful.
His teaching is good and peaceful. Islam teaching, the Quran.
But jihad is peaceful.
Yeah, it has to be. You know, I got it wrong, man. Christie says 100% did wrong. Christie, you should never open your mouth again and talk about Islam because you did wrong. The prophet, George W. Bush, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be on him, said that Islam teaching is beautiful, peaceful, and loving. Tell me more, Mr. Bush, because I need to throw up very soon here.
And those who commit evil in the name of Allah blaspheme the name of Allah. The terrorists.
And those who commit evil in the name of Allah blaspheme the name of Allah. What a stupid idiot. What a stupid idiot. Quran 5:52. Remember he said what? We respect your faith. Here's what the faith said, Mr. Idiot. Infidel indeed. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Read the first half.
Infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, son of Mary.
So every Christian in this country, Mr. Bush, is an infidel. and you respect the teacher of Islam, that I and Paul and Christy and you yourself are infidels. How was next verse, Paul? Go ahead, Paul.
Infidels indeed are those who surely Allah is the third of three.
Who said, surely Allah is the third of three. Me, every Christian, I don't care if you're a Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, if you belong to any church, for sure you're an infidel. And Mrs. George W. Bush, love the Quran, respect the Quran, because the Quran teaches that we are infidel. Good, good, good. What else do you like about the Quran, Mr. Bush? Here we go. Read, Paul.
So this is 47:4. When you meet those who became infidels, so strike the necks, decapitate, until you have made a great slaughter among them.
Now I know, Paul, Christy, for sure Islam is a peaceful religion. Peaceful religion. Because our idiot president said it's a loving and a peaceful religion. How about 2:16, Brother Paul?
War is decreed to you.
Whoa, what?
Well, we could use the word jihad. It's the same word, right?
I know, but did he say love or did he say... I mean, read it right, man. Why are you reading it wrong? Is it love or...
I see the word war.
it's spelled war. L-O-V-E? B-A-C-E. Is it peace or love? Read it, brother, please. Read it carefully. Don't make mistakes.
War is decreed to you.
You know how many times we got that war in the Quran, Mr. Bush? 79 times, you useful idiot. 79 times Allah ordered the Muslim people to kill the American on September 11th. And more yet to come. But he somehow got the note wrong. He was reading from the wrong book. Maybe he was reading from the Bible. He did not know. It's not the Quran. The Bible teaches love and peace. Help me, Lord. Help me. Okay, how about this one here? Teach me about the Arabs, our friends, our allies, as Mr. Bush said, the Arabs. We proudly call them friends. Tell me about what the Arabs said about themselves. Because I have to believe that Arabs do not know Arabs, but Prophet George W. Bush, may Allah's prayer and peace be on him, he knows much better than Arabs about who Arabs are. Okay? Go ahead, brother.
Arabs are the most noble people in lineage, the most prominent and the best indeed. We were the first to respond to the call of the Prophet. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of his messengers, of his messenger. We engage in war with people until they believe in Allah. He who believes in Allah and his messenger has protected his life and possessions from us. As the one who disbelieves, we will engage in war with him forever in the cause of Allah. Killing him is a small matter to us.
Christy, what is wrong with that statement? Do you see anything wrong with that statement? Yeah, help me out, Christy. I need your help.
Well, I don't see any love and peace, and I don't see any Arabs that want to be our friends. I see engage in war until everyone becomes Muslim.
I think you're misinterpreting that statement.
Oh, am I? I'm sorry.
I feel like you become an Islamophobe, and I hate people like you because you people twist the word of great prophet like Caleb Tibbery, and you try to make Islam look bad because you're just a bunch of infidels, evil. You're evil, Christian.
I'm sorry.
I have to say that because I think you're just lying. How about this verse, Paul? Maybe this verse will change your mind, Paul, about the love and peace of Islam. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Quran 9:14. Engage in war with them. Allah will torment them by your hands. Doesn't that mean Allah created terrorism? And put them to shame and give you victory over them and heal the chest of a believing people.
See, you just have in your heart to twist the word of Allah, taking it out of context, make an interpretation for it. I don't like the way you read the Quran. You know what? I'm not going to ask you to read the Quran again. From now on, Chris is going to read because they're making me sick because you're just another emperor. Chris, can you bless me with this loving, peaceful verse, Quran chapter 9, verse 5, Sister Chris, please. Read that verse for me, please.
So when the forbidden months are past, So kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent, convert to Islam, and perform the prayer, and give the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful.
Can't you see it, guys? The verse says Allah is forgiving, merciful. Here's the love of Islam. Here's the forgiveness of Allah. Here's the peace of Islam. What's wrong with you, idiots?
Well, he's forgiving and merciful after people have been killed and they've been besieged and ambushed.
Yeah, I don't like the way,
okay.
Once again, Christy is much better than you. You are twisting and taking the words of Allah out of context. That's not what Allah meant. Allah meant here, first you kill them, the men. Second, you take the women and children, rapes them, rape Muslim babies.
Gotcha.
And third, if they repent, it's up to see. His freedom is not. If they repent, if they convert to Islam, you don't kill them. You don't have to be killed. Just become a Muslim, brother.
Hmm.
9:29. I think I like Christy reading the Quran better than Paul, because he has an evil thought in his mind. Go ahead, Christy, please.
Engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah and in the last day, and do not forbid what Allah and his messenger forbid, and do not believe in the religion of truth, Islam, among those who have been given the book, Christians and Jews, until they pay the jizya, tribute, out of hand, and they are subdued.
My professor told me in high school, you don't have to be killed. Just be the jizya. It's a little bit money for our soldiers to protect you and your family. And I said, your soldiers protecting me from who? From you?
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
That professor never liked me. I have to quit school and go home and do other things. Now, we ask the question, why is the violence? And here is the reasons given for why radical Muslims now, not good Muslims, those who are self-radicalized practice violence. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
These people are... This is stupid. It says these people are uneducated.
See, if you were educated, well, you would never think of Islam to be bad.
Well, then that doesn't explain Major Hassan or Anwar al-Awlaki, or I can go on and on and on.
Doctors, lawyers.
Osama bin Laden, he had a PhD, if I remember right.
He's an engineer. Yes, sir.
Hey.
He is a professor to teach engineering. It's not just a guy got that, 6-8 years in school and left. No, he have his doctorate in engineering. How about the pilot? When you fly an airplane, I thought you cannot fly an airplane unless you pass some tests, in English. So they speak Arabic and they speak English, and they can fly a big airplane. I don't think I'll ever learn how to fly this big airplane. Can you, Paul?
You have to go to classes and you have to pass.
So you have
to get
the
one who was basically learning down in Florida, actually, they didn't want to learn how to land the plane.
Sure
that's why the FBI got called.
Yeah, I make sure that people can be educated to learn how to fly an airplane. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
People are poor.
Bin Laden, we freed 40 million of his money in America. He must be broken, man. They have evidence now that most major number of Muslim jihadi are rich, coming from super rich families. By the way, that's why Mr. John Kerry literally spend the millions, but the billions of dollars of the American people to build schools to educate the Muslims in the Muslim world, and because we want to get rid of poverty and give them a good education. What he did not know that in these schools, they're teaching the Quran, which make Muslims more jihadi than ever. Next one, 3.
These people are mentally ill.
I think the Democrat of America and the liberal among the rhino are all mentally ill.
I'll give you the rhinos are mentally ill. I'll give you the Democrats are mentally ill. But I think when people follow an ideology that is pure evil, it doesn't make them mentally ill, although they may become mentally ill as a result of believing that stuff.
Exactly. Last one, Christy. Read for me this last one.
The these people misunderstand and distort Islam.
Like you and Paul did tonight. You folks are Islamophobe. You folks are evil. You people are misunderstanding Islam, and you're distorting Islam. Because after all, Prophet George W. Bush, Allah's prayer and Allah speaks on him. He said, without any doubt, Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. And September 11th have nothing to do with Islam. And I'm sick and tired of this presentation. I don't even feel like doing it anymore. I don't feel like doing it anymore. I'm sick. I'm sorry.
You know, America is, you know, is from a public education point of view, America is a lot less safe. If you go and take a look at the textbooks and what we talked about.
My blood is boiled, man, in me. We got more Muslims in the American military today. We got more Muslims in the FBI and CIA and Department of Justice in America today. We got more Muslims in the Congress and the Senate, local and the big one in America. We got more Muslims are controlling this country. We got Muslim challenges. We go practice Sharia in our military land. We're getting rid of the conservative Christian of our military and replace them with Muslims. We got more Muslims everywhere you go in America. We have literally quadruple number of Muslims in America after September 11th, and we got quadruple number of mosques in America, and we got. How far do you want me to go? How in the world we can be safer today than yesterday in America? You have to be real stupid. Unless hear the truth, unless you believe that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion, and we need to get rid of a God by the name Usama Dakwa, and we need to get rid of a lady by the name Christy Johnson and this guy by the name Paul, and get rid of these people because they are Islamophobe, and soon they will do that. And then you're going to see everything the media says about Islam to be true, love and peace. Just give me your daughter to marry. How old is your daughter? 8? Man, I can marry her right now. And don't worry, I'll treat her with love and respect. I'm only 53, man. Trust me, I'll be good to your daughter. And we're going to have a sick country where Muslims will be raping our wives, our daughters, our grandchildren in America. And not one American will open his lips to say this happens to Islam. As it is happening all over Europe today, all over England, France, Germany, Holland, Sweden. These beautiful little girls are being raped by the Muslim men, and nobody will say a word. Because if you do, then he's from a pope. We'll maybe arrest you and put you in jail.
But they're really trying to normalize pedophilia, and you and I have talked about this a long time ago. This is something that we know is a part of Islam. So you're going, why in the world are they trying to make this okay and normal? But I tell you what, these people they brought from Afghanistan, and they brought these little girls with them, and they were trying to claim that, these are their kids. Children, but then some of them told them, no, these are my wife. And the
four years. I mean, how in the world you take a wife from a man who's in love with, has been literally screwing her for the last 3-4 years, and she's already 11 years old? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to divorce her because he's only 40 years older than her? What is wrong with you people? You're insulting Muhammad. If you remove one of these Pakistani Muslims from the Taliban Muslims from having sexual relationship with his wife, you're insulting Muhammad. How dare are you to talk about that? How dare are you to tell me that Muhammad was wrong to have sex with Aisha when she was, 9 years old? 8 or 9 years old? God help us. It's sick. Our time is up. I'm sorry to say once again, but love of the 3,000 Americans who died on September 11th, and the 5,000 soldiers who literally died in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and the 15,000-20,000 who came back to America after this war, committed suicide, all that blood was waste, and all this billions of dollars is waste, because today, Taliban is greater than ever. Thanks to Obama and thanks to Biden, they're doing exactly what Muslims want, control their own countries, and soon they're going to control America.
And they're still doing it under Biden, because of look what he did with the Afghanis and them coming in.
Paul, thank you so much, brother. Christy, thank you so much. We have to end with this. It's a powerful news. Here's the good news. You can find peace. You can find joy. Not in Islam. No. In Christ and Christ alone, because Christianity is unique. It is the uniquest faith. There's nothing like Christianity. And here is the truth.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the street. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is a belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall into the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, good God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.